Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with myself, Robbie Musto, here with my buddy, Robbie Earle, and we're going to react to all the big talking points on the Premier League season over this last weekend. We are certainly going to talk the diving simulation situation, Rob, that's reared its ugly head this weekend, particularly on Sunday. We are going to talk about David Moyes and Sunderland. They got relegated this weekend. But let's start at the very top of the Premier League with Chelsea. And I think we both felt that this was probably the biggest hurdle, the last real hurdle to stop Chelsea marching away with the Premier League title with how impressive they've looked. Everton have been in really good form at home, but wow, they did a great job of winning this game quite comfortably.
Listen, Rob, they do what Chelsea do. They find a way of getting a result. It was 0-0 at the break. Pedro comes up with a moment of magic, turning, spinning, getting his shot in, getting the goal. From that moment on, then they turn out in charge of the game, go on to get further goals. But it was about the way that this team, don't panic, Rob, if it's not happening, know what they're going to do, can play different ways. I thought restricted Everton to very few real chances in the match. And these match winners all throughout the team, whether it's Eden Hazard, it's Diego Costa, whether it's Cesc Fabregas, is it Pedro today, they find a way. Or it's a Gary Cahill coming with a late header. This team just have so many ways of doing it. And I think the neutrals, we all felt like, you know, we may have a race. Everton could maybe get something there, and maybe Spurs can get it down to a point. But to be honest, they were too good. They had too much know-how. There's too much experience in that dressing room. Somebody said that there's somewhere between, and it's hard to kind of put the numbers, but, you know, around 38 to 40 titles have been won by the management and the players in that dressing room. There's a know-how. And the celebrations at the end, Rob, were, and I heard one of the players say it was like a cup final for them. I think they knew that it was a big hurdle. They knew everybody was saying this is the one that might catch them out. And Conte was jumping on his players' backs, and they were in front of those Chelsea fans. And I think they believe now that they're going to, you know, all the way to get to this title.
Yeah, I mean, they continue to show us that they've got what it takes to be champions. Mm. I thought it was thorough. I thought it was professional. And I think I kind of recognise that it's like a pattern now, I think, in with Antonio Conte and this Chelsea side, is there's a very cautious start to the games, Rob. Mm. They're not going to do anything to risk conceding in the start of the game. This game was kind of similar, like very not.
Was that a bit Mourinho-esque when Mourinho was there?
Yeah, but I think there's more of a strategy towards it though, Rob. It's like we're back foot, we're steady. You kind of show us what you've got, and we're happy to be stalemate for a little while. This again, these goals came. Pedro's goal came in the 66th minute, and there's like a slower kind of. I thought after the break they just come out a little bit more. They're a bit more proactive. They're a little bit more. You know what? Okay, it's time for us now to start pushing forward a little bit. They get the goal. They get the second goal. In fact, after the first goal, I think they then kind of like, okay, there you go. That's what we wanted. Now we're going back into reactive mode. And you know, Everton, come on to us. And if you leave any spaces, you're going to need to score. We're going to punish you as well. So I think I've seen that over the last kind of few weeks of this is the strategy. This is the way we're going to do it. We're going to be tight, and we're going to find a way to score and then defend and hit you on the counter-attack to get more goals.
And he has to take so much credit, Antonio Conte. Just his man management, Robert, of the group, of the situation. We've talked about, you know, they were 10th last season, the turnaround in the system. But again, just those individual things. I mean, we're used to seeing him on the side of the pitch now, making sure his players are at it. But big calls, I mean, he brings Pedro back into the team, puts Cesc Fabregas on the bench. Pedro scores.
Yeah.
There was a time, I don't know if you noticed in the game, where David Luiz had got a bit of a groin, and at 1-0, Luiz was sort of going a bit of the like, he went, stay on the pitch. Till they were 2-0 up, he then allowed him off because the game was won. He brings on two substitutes in the second half, Willian and Cesc Fabregas, combined to make a goal. This guy just seems to get those big decisions right at the right time. And as you said, when the game opened up, that's when Cesc can come on and his passing can change the game. Yeah. Just really good man management.
You know, when you look at him afterwards and you see how incredibly fired up and frantic and crazy he looks. And I think I said this on the broadcast, Rob, about, God, how does he get this feeling and this enthusiasm for next season, you know, and trying to remotivate in this same crate. Can he remain to be crazy? And of course, we know he did it with Juve.
Yeah, that's what's impressive about it.
So how does he do that? How does he keep him that fired up over a period of time?
My question is a little bit like, he's not Jose Mourinho in the way he does it, but Mourinho is intense and he gets at you. But does that wear after a while? Is there a turnover? Do players get a little bit tired of it? And then either they have to be churned and changed because I need to get new ones who do it. Never necessarily changes all Juventus team in many ways. There are many similar pillars in that team that stayed.
But I think there was, looking back now, because I covered the league a lot in that period of time, and I think there was changes, Rob. I think there was. Each season there were new players coming in, and maybe that's what you need. Yeah. Maybe you do need that. And some of the ones that may look a little tired, I think it's kind of aging squad when he first picked it up, some of the strikers he had. And then there was a turnover.
You look at Chelsea, you think, well, does Diego Costa go? Obviously, that's big. Terry moves anyway. Yeah. Does he make maybe a change in one of the wing-back positions or something? But, I mean, it was an outstanding victory. And then we have to say that, you know, the game then swung to the North London Derby, to Spurs and Arsenal, last North London derby at White Hart Lane. And this one, Rob, was, I thought, a little surprising in the end.
Why are you surprised?
But the difference in the two teams. Yeah. I thought
that's confirmation of, I think, the difference of the two of them.
Yeah, but I thought Arsenal would be super motivated in this game. I thought, it's roles reversed, but I thought Arsenal are not going to want to.
I think they were motivated.
So that's the best they've got. That's the best they've got. Yeah. I mean, well, if that's the case, it's disappointing and it's worrying. People are talking about power shifts and it's way too early for that. 1 year finishing above Arsene Wenger's Arsenal is not a power shift. But when we start to talk about the near to long-term future, there's so much that looks right and in place at Spurs and so much that looks disjointed and old at Arsenal. There's some huge decisions for both these football clubs in many respects. That could have a bearing on where, not saying the shift of power, but some ascendancy could be gained or lost by one of these two big North London teams.
What if Arsene Wenger, and we think he's going to stay, what if he doesn't stay, Robbie Earl, and they pick up a really good manager, whether it's another Premier League manager or from somebody else?
It's a whole different conversation.
And that's what it should be. Challenge. It should be a new conversation the summer about what's going to happen.
But most of us believe that that's not going to be the case, Rob. And the other thing I was thinking about with Arsenal, and I was slightly disappointed. I don't know if many people saw the interview, but Arsene Wenger stormed out of an interview when he was being asked questions. And I thought, that's a little bit disparaging. For 21 years, you've been the top team and you've been happy to have reporters ask you questions. Some guy's job to ask you how you feel now that you're not going to finish above. And he stormed out of the thing. And I thought it was as much an admittance of, you know what? He's lost a little bit of his sheen. He's lost a little bit of his power. That Spurs are a better team than him. That he was out-coached. That he was out-fought.
Every part of the game, isn't it?
That Pochettino were better. That looking to the future, Rob, Petr Cech's getting no younger. Koscielny and people, two or three more years. He's got two big decisions with Ozil and Alexis. He's got Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain talking about his contract being up. You've got Theo Walcott. Is Theo ever going to be a title winner? You've got Xhaka, still you're not too sure about. You've got Aaron Ramsey.
Jack Wilshere.
Not quite Jack Wilshere. I mean, there's so many questions about this football club that you're thinking, somebody's got to make some long-term decisions on what this club looks like going forward. If Arsene Wenger is the man and they've trusted him for 21 years, I'm just saying that things could look very, very different if Spurs go about their business properly.
Isn't it crazy though, Rob, that all these things about all these contracts and it's all on Arsene Wenger. It's almost like the club have got no real hierarchy, no control over their manager. Their manager is everything.
They've allowed him probably too much.
And he's got these excellent players that the contracts are running down, that the value is dripping down every single weekend that goes by. I've said it before, Stan Kroenke, take control of this club. take control, bring somebody in, a sporting director, and to change the whole structure of the football club.
Somebody said, but you know, he's obviously got American franchises as well. He's not that man. If things are ticking over, the revenues, robbers are still going through the roof. They still keep bringing a load of money. It's one of the most expensive season tickets in English football. And so he's probably making a dividend every year. He's got a manager who generally has got him in the top four. Probably this season is going to be different. I mean, why make a change?
Just on back on Spurs a little bit, Robin. Just how good and how much further ahead are Spurs and Chelsea than the rest? I mean, how's the other teams? I mean, they'll spend a lot of money and et cetera, and there's great managers, et cetera. But it seems to me right now, they're going to take some stopping. They're going to take some catching.
They're both in a better place. And I give more credit to Spurs. With Chelsea, I think we've seen the huge amounts of money that Roman Abramovich put in, and then they do go to the market. But Spurs have done it in a very cleverer, more cute, a little bit more frugal way of bringing in players, of developing good talent with a great coach who works with a group of players. I looked at Victor Wanyama in that game, Robbie Musto, and just thought, if Arsenal could ever do with a player who's athletic, who's got some drive,
who might not have
all the touches of everybody else in the world, but he gives them something different, who's going to drive a team and make them play. And Pochettino's just got so many things in place. The only thing, and here's a little one for you, could this be the first sort of domino in an effect? Kyle Walker is having a few problems with his manager, I believe. There's talk about whether he's fit enough, or the people are looking, he's on supposedly $70,000 a week and he could double his money elsewhere. If Kyle Walker's the first, he didn't play in the North London Derby, he played Kieran Trippier. If Kyle Walker's the first to just go and have a sniff at that $170,000 a week somewhere else, does it catch anybody else? Does anybody's eye get turned? Does somebody else make a phone call? Could there be a domino effect? And I don't want to put a dampener on anything that Spurs are doing, because at the moment they've been a breath of fresh air. But
it's an
there are little things
point.
That might come up.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. And I think Pochettino's playing tough on it. Nope. You know, they had a bust up, they had an argument or whatever. Whether it is that he's not signed a new contract, there's thought that he can't play two big games in a short space of time.
Doesn't seem right.
But what does he do with him? He's got to be hard with him. And I think the team will say to Walker, come on, we've all signed up. This is something special. Come on board. Let's, you know, sign your contract. Let's stay together. But it's a great point, and that's the thing that's gonna make Spurs stumble in the future, as if the contracts that they have are nowhere near what they could get somewhere else. Now the club, what they can do, of course, is maybe each season, you know what, you've done great
new
again.
Deal.
Here's
new
another
deal.
Bit. Here's another bit to try and bridge that gap. But absolutely right that these players in Spurs now have proven themselves to be top level, could get more wages at other clubs around Europe. It's just the special factor, the new stadium. And I've been at a club that there's a new stadium coming. It is exciting, and players do want to hang around and stay there for the opening of the new stadium and seeing what it's like. And that's gelling them and sticking them together. But it really is the only thing, as well as a manager. If the manager gets somehow poached, you know, if the next season's not great, but Chelsea, the percentage chances that they don't win the title, where are we with the title race? We said it's a last hurdle.
Dunzo, I think, is the phrase. It's done, mate. I mean, people are hoping, and you know, one result either way.
Two draws, and the Spurs win out, and Spurs can take it, depending on goal difference, which is theirs is pretty good. So
it's not done and dusted yet.
I just don't think it is.
I think it's done, mate. I mean, I just don't see Chelsea letting this go in this situation, having worked so hard. Two teams who would have been and would have liked to be talking about titles and aren't, and two teams who ended up with disappointing draws yesterday. Manchester United 1-1 draw with Swansea. Middlesbrough 2-2 draw with Manchester City. That in some circumstances would be a good point, but the way that Middlesbrough would have liked all three, and we'll go on to talk about the diving and penalty kicks that were given against both these clubs. But let's just talk about the two Manchester clubs at the moment, Rob. Jose Mourinho first and Manchester United. I know we're going back to the start of the season, and you fancied them as favourites. And then as the time's gone on, you said no, but then fancied them for top four. Possibility now that doesn't happen?
I think as time went on, I said that I think they miss out on top four. Liverpool and United I had as missing out. Around January, we had another little prediction there. Well, my honest feeling is that this is hugely disappointing, the Premier League campaign. Now, you can bundle in the League Cup that nobody really cares about, the big clubs. We know all the players get rotated out. And I know it's a trophy. And I know, Robbie, you love, you know, clubs winning trophies. Yeah.
Jose loves winning trophies. Yeah. Let's get that right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Other than, I mean, the Europa League has become incredibly important because of the Champions League qualification. But for a team like Manchester United, I mean, that's not great. But the league campaign, where they are on the league table, you know, they look like likely of missing out on a top four spot. And you can go around, you can listen to Jose Mourinho in numerous interviews, and he's going to give you 4, 5, 6, 7 reasons why it's happening, why they're struggling. There are other reasons or their excuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, injuries to key players.
9 games so far in April and all that
stuff. I mean, he likes to have a small squad. Mm. Well, at Manchester United, you absolutely can have a big squad. You're involved in different competitions. And when you go into that squad, you look at the injury record of Phil Jones. Smalling a little bit less so, but other players there, and he must be thinking, ooh, this Luke Shaw. I mean, there is some injuries in this squad. Maybe it's going to be bigger. The style of football, I don't think, has been brilliant at home. I mean, the record, you know, the lowest percentage winning.
10 draws, isn't it? 10 home draws.
Yeah, you know, if they go on and win the Europa League and qualify for the Champions League, that's another trophy. 2 trophies, even if they finish 5th, you can't say that's a failure of a season. You can't. But if they don't...
Does he get a pass because of the injuries in the squad and the games in the Europa League? Does he get a pass this year?
He doesn't, for me, get a pass.
But he seems to generally, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he generally will. I think he generally will. And you know, looking ahead, how... I know he's going to bring in some new players, and there's some great names been linked.
New players not playing Champions League football, maybe. No. New players maybe not playing Champions League football, which is a worry. If you're going for the Griezmanns and the top players in they want to play in it. They want to be playing in Europe's biggest competition.
They want to be playing counter-attacking football, Rob, at Old Trafford. They want to be defending and having to work back, and a manager's going to be hammering him if he doesn't get back and track his fullback. Mm. I mean, listen, he's won at big clubs in Chelsea. But the style is less important than at Manchester United. And it comes back to the very question that we debated at the start of this. United fans okay with just winning? Because you might win. You might win, but the style won't be great.
And let's talk about winning. Because for winning for Manchester United isn't League Cups and isn't Europa Leagues. How long, given Jose Mourinho is given time and given money, how long before he lands a title? How long does he need to land a title? Does next season Manchester United, are they ready to land a title? Is there enough there? I mean, could lose Zlatan, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think they'll win the title next year. You consider the other teams right now. You consider his style. I see similarities for next season. Unless he goes back to Mourinho's way. What we've seen, Rob, to be fair, he has tried to play.
Yeah,
he's tried to dominate possession. He said that. We controlled the game. But they've really struggled to attack and to create and to score goals. Now, is that going to be different next year? If he goes back to sweet spot Jose Mourinho, if they, you know what, I don't care if it's Old Trafford, I don't care if it's Manchester United, we're going to be solid. We're going to react if you slip or if you give the ball away, we're going to punish you. Then in that style, I think he can win the league. But I question whether he's going to go with that style. And if he doesn't go with that style, he goes with expansive, open, attractive football, which he isn't a great coach at doing. I don't think they're going to win it next year.
Well, I slightly disagree because I don't think he's got the personnel to play that defensive style as he did it at Chelsea, as he did it at Lindemann. Some of those teams were great defenders.
So he is going to go. You think he is going to go into open, expansive?
I think he's going to have to go a little bit more so because I don't think he has the option with this group of players to defend it.
And how confident are you that he can win a title with that?
I think he's 3 years away, Rob.
Yeah, but he ain't going to last 3 years, is he?
Well, if he doesn't last 3 years, then that's what I'm saying. I think it's a 3-year project for Jose Mourinho.
Why are you saying 3 years? What's the difference then?
Because I think 3 years of players coming in and developing the players. I just don't think I don't think it's next season, and I couldn't put my hand on my heart and say it's the season after. I just don't think it happens
satisfies the club and the fans that he continues
in between.
He's got to finish like second or third.
Maybe so, I don't know.
And they'll be okay with continuing with that.
Going deep
project.
In the Champions League, maybe. Let's quickly talk about Manchester City, because it's a different kind of problem with them. They have got the quality, but just don't seem to get things right. have too many off days, days when it doesn't quite happen. No disrespect to your Middlesbrough, but I know they're fighting for their life, yeah. Rob. But Manchester City should go to the Riverside and come away with all 3 points, especially in the position they're in, where there's still doubts of Manchester City making the top four. We both believe they will get there because of the quality of player and the games left, but there's nothing taken for certain in this league.
I know. And it's again, you know, a little bit like Manchester United. How disappointing, I mean, with Pep Guardiola, I mean, my expectation was a real challenge, and some great
one or two. I mean, anything else, best manager in the world with the amount of money he spends, brings in quality players with the squad that was left. I mean, we're talking now, if this is Manuel Pellegrini, we're talking about giving him the sack, sitting fourth in the table. Yeah. Out of all the competitions.
Spent more money.
We're saying, so he's another one with the pass. I think he maybe deserves or is allowed to have the pass because he's learning English football. Next season, that goes, by the way. Yeah. Next season, that goes.
You know what, Rob? Should we move on to the diving situation? You know, the Manchester clubs, we don't want to depress everybody too much. It's been, and it will get better, those two clubs, I would imagine. But yeah, we saw three examples this weekend, Rob. I think the Harry Kane one, we agreed, was a trip.
Yeah, it was a foul first, and he embellished it a little bit to
make sure he got it.
Give the prince a little bit of a pass on that.
Yeah, he gets away with that. I think the Marcus Rashford, Manchester United one, and the Leroy Sané are both... Yeah. Yeah. Clear dives, in my opinion. Yeah. Any difference?
Absolutely no argument with that. I think the question becomes, and these becomes topical, about what the game is or should be doing about it, Rob. It's conversations we've been having for 10 years as pundits since we finished in the game. Something we saw in the game.
Is it gradually getting worse?
Yes, because I think the game's getting quicker. I think players get played through and are almost waiting. Marcus Rashford is a 19-year-old pro, and I'm not particularly picking him out because I think he's an outstanding talent and he's a good player and hopefully he's going to have a great England future as well as Manchester United. But he almost knew exactly what to do the moment he got played through. He touched the ball with his left foot. He made sure he made contact with his right.
Which he's seen many times over the last few years.
Which he's probably seen. Which he's seen people get patted on the back for. Which he's seen people win penalty kicks for. And so he's done product of his environment. He's done the thing, won a penalty kick. And some probably Manchester United players, and I've got to be honest, if I was one, they'd probably patted him on the back.
Who cares?
And if you're in his dressing room, absolutely. Well done. This might get us in Champions League. But I think we both, for the better of the game, understand that this is something that isn't right. That if Swansea get relegated by a point or two, and we look back to that Marcus Rashford, we all don't feel that it's been right. Now, we've talked about it, and I know you're strong on the video action replays, which may come into play in time. Yeah. But more importantly, maybe retrospective action on diving, that we both feel that if it's done, introduced well, strongly, with a message that 2 or 3 game bans will be retrospectively handed out to people who go down. You'll stop it, by the way, because Marcus Rashford is too important right now for Manchester United, especially in their current situation, to miss 2 or 3 games now in the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we know it happens in Scotland. Mm. We know it happens in Major League Soccer here in the US. And I spoke to my buddy just earlier today about how it's going in Scotland. He said it's helping. It's definitely helping. He didn't think you're ever going to totally get rid of it.
No.
But it's absolutely helping. And, you know, you'd have 3 judges that are, you know, on a Tuesday morning, just sit down and look at it. If they all agree that it's a dive, then there's a 2 or 3 game punishment. That would be the way that, to stop it. Now, the other way is video assistant referees, VAR that's been trialed and is being rolled out now in different leagues and different competitions, and we're going to see it, Rob. We're going to talk more about this in the future. That would, every incident would get reviewed. So the referee would trot over to the sideline and he'd look at it all, and you know, that's a whole new debate about the time taken for that, etc., etc. But that would be a reason, Rob, not to bring in the retrospective stuff if
it happens there,
video technology in terms of refereeing is going to be coming in over the next couple of years. They might wait for that. And, you know, who knows whether that's going to work out, whether it's going to be a success or not. But why not just start very quickly and do it retrospectively? It surely has to help.
Yep, it definitely does. And you'd almost like to think that some of the managers actually would be saying to the players, hey, let's not do this thing. Let's win games. Let's go past goalkeepers, let's try and score. Well, stay on your feet if you can. Let's not go to ground. But like everything, this I'm sure will be a conversation that rumbles on, diving in simulation. But I think sooner rather than later, the game has to address that situation. Just going to move down to the bottom end of the league, Rob, because relegation is a huge part of the Premier League, staying in the league. It pretty much looks like it's going to be down to the four teams: Hull City, Swansea, Middlesbrough and Sunderland FC, yeah, who were relegated at the weekend. They lost 1-0 in their game to Bournemouth, and Hull City getting a draw was enough to make sure that the Sunderland got relegated. And a lot of focus, a lot of talk has been made about David Moyes and his role and his position at Sunderland Football Club. He did in the week come out and say that, you know, he was hoping to stay at the club and bring them back. And then it seems to be since then a little bit of confusion as to whether that's true or not, whether the club will want him or not. But let's just talk about David Moyes, Rob. Just over 3 years ago, this was a guy who was managing Manchester United. We're now talking about a manager who just led a club down to the Championship, and his stock couldn't have dropped much more, could it?
Right from the start, he was kind of realistic, maybe over realistic about we could be possibly in a relegation
negative
fight again.
Some might
negative,
say
negative, yeah, we've seen that demeanor. It's like he hasn't been up for the challenge, Rob. Yeah. He hasn't looked fresh, he hasn't been on the front foot, he hasn't been kind of in interviews, you know, he hasn't said things like, you know what, we're going to keep working away, we're going to do all that we can, I'm going to look at the transfer market, the players are up for this. There's been a lack of real energy to stay up with other managers.
Marco Silva, by the
others,
way,
yeah, have absolutely done that. His transfer dealings, Rob, with some of the players that he brought in has not worked.
People
out.
He knew, but people.
Jolyon Lescott, Stephen Pienaar, you know, I mean, Victor Anicha, we got a few goals, but others, like
Donald,
you said,
Lowe,
in Marco Silva, that's got a network ready to go. Absolutely incredible. Brought the guys in, and it's totally a whole new team. So, you know, I still believe that David Moyes is the man to stay with,
do
to
you?
Rebuild.
Why?
I do.
Why? What gives
well,
you that?
I just
gives you
can't
that
forget. I can't forget his pedigree. You know, through the 2000s, 2002, right through to 10 years at Everton. I can't suggest to get rid of an experienced manager and go for somebody else. I think it's a time to stick with somebody and give them some time and give them some power at the club.
You've talked about the Marco Silvers of the world who came in, who were bright, who were fresh. And listen, there was plenty of English pundits questioning why we're getting this foreign player and there's lots of English guys around. But you can see when you see this guy work that he's got a chance.
But
now,
who do you trust at Sunderland to pick one?
Well, that may be the bigger problem. But let's just go back to David Moyes because I'm interested in this. And in terms of where you said, and I was a massive David Moyes fan. Know David a little bit from things gone past. And what I used to think with his Everton teams is he gets the best out of players. They're difficult to play against. And listen, it might not be the most exciting footballer, but you know what you get. I never saw any of that at Sunderland, Rob. And now, you can be bad. You can go down. You cannot have good players. But I never saw a team who looked difficult to play against. I never saw a team who you knew what you were going to get. They had a centre-forward who was scoring goals, if that is Jermaine Defoe. They had a young kid, Jordan Pickford, the goalkeeper, who was trying his heart out, not particularly up. But in between those two, there wasn't an awful lot. So what gives you the belief that the Everton David Moyes is still in there, that can do a job that's going to go to the Championship, where they're going to be a big target, where it's 46 nasty games that you've got to get through to get back into the Championship, into the Premier League.
I can't disagree that this has been really worse than I expected. I think we all knew for Sunderland it's going to be another difficult season, but you thought, you know what, with David Moyes, they might have a chance of staying up. It was a bit awkward with the way he came into the club as Sam Allardyce left for England, etc. And it's been been worse than expected. But I still believe in this guy's history. I believe in what he's done over a long period of time at another football club like Everton. I believe in his experience and his contacts. And surely, given the power at that football club, he's got a load of deals to do, of course, to get rid of a lot at Sunderland and a chance to rebuild again. I just don't believe... you know, in firing a guy again, you got to look for somebody else. It's very, very difficult to think about that. But I would stick with him, and we'll see. He's got to start well next season in the Championship.
Yeah.
There's no question about that, because, you know, after a while, it is like, well, hang on a minute. You know, how long do we stick with this guy? But I would stick with him. Would you? So you would make a change, would you?
I think I'd make a change. I just don't think it seems like a perfect marriage between the two. And I just think might be a fresh start for David Moyes somewhere else. Fresh start, somebody coming in. Different set of eyes, different way of looking at it. Might just be enough to get him back up.
Let's quickly go to the other team. that we looked at today.
Yeah.
We watched the Watford Liverpool
match.
Yeah,
it was a big game, wasn't it?
A brilliant goal from Emre Can to win it 1-0. And a day that Liverpool had to win. They win their four remaining games. They get a place in the top four. I think there's a maturity. There's something a little bit different, in my opinion, Rob, of Liverpool over the last month or so, where they are trying to address the fact they conceded so many goals on counter-attacks and they couldn't win games unless they were going flat out against the better sides. Just quickly on this one, you know, do you think they're going to get it done now with the remaining games that look winnable?
It just looked to me like more people were accountable today, Rob, than I've seen of Liverpool at least. And we talked in the game, and Danny Higginbottom talked about it for us. So Lucas Leiva being a single sort of anchor in front of that back four with two in front of him. But what happened in the game, and certainly second half once Emre Can scored, often he sat next to Lucas and said, "I ain't going anywhere." And he balanced the team out.
And
they prompted. But I just saw, once or twice Matip and Lovren talking to each other and organising. I saw somebody once have a go at James Milner for being too high up the pitch.
Did you also notice that I thought they were more patient with possession?
Yeah.
Leading the game. Keep it
correct.
A little bit. No need to go crazy attacking again.
Not trying desperately to get the second goal, which is something we're seeing. And I thought, Rebecca talked about at the start of the game, you know, which games it's more likely to be. The Watford who beat Liverpool last season or the Watford who lost 6-1 to Liverpool. And I said neither, but I just felt Liverpool would have too much quality. It was a great goal, but I was more impressed today with the 1-0 than I was with the 6-1. Because the 6-1, when the Mane scoring, Coutinho scoring, they've got the goals. When Liverpool are good, we know they can be very good. Today wasn't a day for technicality. It wasn't a day of brilliant football. You lose Philippe Coutinho in the first 5 minutes, you have to throw Adam Lallana on, and then you get him off to protect himself. I just thought it was a day when, you know what, they found a way. The things we talk about Chelsea, the things we're saying about a new Spurs team, maybe this Liverpool team are just understanding. Sometimes, without great days, without great football, you get a goal and you find a way to make sure you win a 1-0. And by the way, they were 6 inches from making it 1-1 with Friedel smacks one against the bar.
Yeah, and that's the only remaining kind of little doubt. The last two away games, Rob, Simon Mignolet had to make good saves to keep the 3 points. So that continues to be a little of a worry, but they are getting better.
West Ham and is it Middlesbrough last game?
You worry about the Crystal Palace. The last home game they lost 2-1 at home. It's like, where's that come from? They've got Southampton at home on Sunday.
Southampton,
Now, Southampton are decent. They've got some good attacking players,
decent.
Rob.
You know, Chelsea a bit of a scare, didn't they?
Yeah, Liverpool will have to be, you know, of course they've got to attack with caution, but don't get caught because Southampton are pretty good.
Coutinho will be fit. Talk about a dead leg, I think, has been reported.
Yeah, speculation from me, and this is massive speculation. I think a dead leg on the side of the thigh, in my experience,
He's got six days.
It goes a lot quicker than if it's in the middle of the thigh. So I'm going for he is going to be available for the next game.
Massive call from Robbie Musto. I don't think he's ready, but I think Adam Lallana has 6 more days of training and you get Lallana back with his energy. I don't think you risk Coutinho because they say if you get another knock on it, it can be bad. So we'll see.
Do you think they're going to do it? Liverpool top 4?
Yeah, I do now.
That'd be a great season, by the way.
Brilliant season. Because, by the way, and I've said it a number of times, I think they've got the 6th best squad in the league of the top 6. If he finishes 3rd or 4th and gets him in Champions League, that's magnificent. And by the way, it looks like Arsenal are out of business now. It looks like Manchester United are going to have the pressure with the Europa League on them. So it's down to Liverpool and Manchester City maybe to knock those places. But as ever, mate, we've run out of time on a weekend when Chelsea celebrated victory at Goodison Park like they'd won the league, where the last North London derby at White Hart Lane was won by Spurs, and the two Manchester clubs gave Liverpool a real leg up in Champions League qualification. Remember to stay part of the football conversation. Look out for our next podcast on Thursday as Manchester United take a patched-up team in the Europa League against Celta Vigo. And if you like what you hear, please rate and review the shows on Apple Podcasts. The ratings help increase our rankings and visibility, which allows more football fans to be part of the debate. So from me, Robbie Earle, and him, Robbie Musto, thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Hold up. Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.